Well, this may be the one you've been waiting for as far as discipleship goes. Call to serve. That's the bottom line of all what discipleship is about. We're called to serve as Jesus would serve. In chapters 14 through 17, John writes what Jesus told his disciples. It was the night before Jesus would be nailed to the cross. And then we have John letting us know that Jesus' love for us was so great that he was willing to lay down his life for us. Didn't matter what everybody else thought. The truth is that he was willing to do that. When you think about it, you know, Jesus is God, right? He's always been. He always will be. And yet 2,000 years ago, he came down from heaven for a great cause. To serve us. With his final act of service on earth. Giving his life so that we would have an opportunity to be with him for eternity. He did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And I think over the years, men and women have tried to do things for themselves. But we can't. We can't satisfy God's requirement for our sin. Only Jesus could do that. He provided the only possible way for us to be right with God. And he completely gave himself, not just a little bit, but he gave everything. You know, I think most people, when they think about their service for God, they're willing to give everything up until the point that they get there and they want to hold something back. Call it human nature, call it fear of the unknown, whatever it is, it seems to be a common occurrence. You know, one of the examples that we have in the Bible is about Sapphira and Ananias when they gave their offering. Now, they gave their offering, but they said they gave more because they wanted to hold a little bit back for themselves. What they didn't realize is that if they would have just held back a little for themselves, God would have been fine with that. But they tried to take credit for doing more. So he used them as an example. We can never make up the cost Jesus paid for us. He doesn't even want us to try. He never asked us to make up that cost. He came to serve and he came to help us when we had nowhere else to go. Because I think everybody gets to that point before they truly accept Jesus where they don't know which way to go except down on their knees and beg for help. And if not physically, at least in their heart, that they're so low that they call upon the Lord for help. And you know what? He answers. Because he knows sometimes we need to get to that point. But too often, once people are back up, they feel that, oh well, they can go back to their old lives. And that's not really what we should be about. Jesus is the example of true service. And he gives it to us to imitate him, to do what he would do if he was here. As we follow him day in and day out, we don't have to worry about changing. Those things will come about without us really knowing it sometimes. All of a sudden, you start doing the right thing and changes happen. The Bible tells us to emulate Jesus in everything we do. Now that's pretty hard for a lot of us. everything, but it's no reason not to try. Today there's so many images of what Jesus looks like. You go in any church and like ours, they have a lot of images of him. But you know what? Easter is the only time that people really focus on the greatest picture of him that we have. That's Jesus willfully giving himself on the cross. And that was such a monumental thing that he did, such a great service, that God accepted it for all mankind. That because of that, everybody can come to him and ask for forgiveness. And he will forgive them. Even after we accept Jesus as Savior and Lord, that blood that he shed still covers that once we ask for forgiveness. And asking for forgiveness, we got to understand that it's not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. But the act of forgiveness is turning from that sin to do it no more. So we don't have to come back and ask for forgiveness and come back and ask for forgiveness for the same thing. That's truly what it is to seek forgiveness from God. Jesus knows that serving others is the best possible thing we can do. He wants us to be servants like he was. Servants of one another. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than they lay down one's life for his friends. And it doesn't matter whether it's worldly or spiritually. It's still the greatest service that can be done. We honor our war heroes for doing that for us. But when we think of it in the realm of Christianity, it means that we'd be willing to lay down our lives for our fellow brother and sister in Christ. Yet the world says, well, anybody that does that, sure. But how much more is it to protect our own? And yet more people are willing to just protect anybody and everybody, which isn't wrong. But they're more willing to do that than they are for their Christian family. And to me, that is wrong. That's why we're here. That's why God puts us here, so that we can help one another, so that we can keep each other ready to do what God has for them to do. You know, part of the reason that we take care of so many things in the military is so that they can continue to fight the battle. See, and so when we help each other take care of what needs are there, what burdens are bogging them down, then we help them to be able to continue the battle. And although our battle isn't things of this world, it's spiritual things. But that affects a lot of people. Jesus never intended for his disciples to be a bunch of spiritually in-tune people, isolated from reality. You know, all these pictures that we see where people get in little groups and they're all by themselves and they don't want to have anything to do with anybody else and they won't let anybody in. It's just, that's it. That's not what Jesus intended. How can we reach people if we're that way? We can't. Spiritually in tune, maybe. We need to be spiritually in tune with Christ, right? But never isolated. We need to be there for not just brothers and sisters in Christ, but for the world to see, so that we can reach them for the Lord. And those that will accept. And those that won't accept. And we just got to let it be in God's hands. As long as we're doing what God asks us to do, we should be fine. But we need to be about service. Everything about Jesus from the time that he was, what we have recorded, 12 years old in the temple, till he died on the cross. He was all about serving people, teaching and helping in any way that he could. When Jesus called the 12, he didn't just sit on a mountaintop with them for 3 years and tell them all about God and how good everything was going to be. He didn't retreat to some place where they would be in spiritual ecstasy. Although I think if we had spiritual ecstasy, we'd be in heaven. You know? Earth is not the place for it. Jesus called them to make a difference in people's lives. We need to get that across up here so that we can do what Jesus needs us to do. And there's only one way we can. By serving each other. Serving each other as believers. Serving each other as people out there. There shouldn't be really a difference. But yet, in our own thought process, we should be more motivated to help one another. Just as we would our own families. That we would make sure that we get that right. And then do everything we can to get in the world right. Yet many disciples today are not sure how to do that. How do you serve one another? You got to get to know them. It simply really means that we're being grounded in the Word. If we're grounded in the Word, then we're going to know, because it tells us. And that leads to teaching and preaching. And most believers probably tune out when they hear that. I don't want to hear anything about teaching or preaching. Don't talk to me about that. I can't do that. Heard that a number of times over the years. But that's because they really don't want to be a teacher, let alone a preacher. But that's just what some become. So many people that said they didn't want to do that have become teachers and preachers. Me, for one, I didn't want to do that. Everybody that told me that they thought God was calling me to preach, I said, you got to be kidding. I don't like standing up in front of people unless I'm barking out orders. And they're in uniform and they have to listen to me. You know, who wants to be up there in front of everybody to pick them apart? So the best way I do that is use myself as an example of things a lot of times, because then everybody knows and you've got nothing to gossip about, right? But, you know, all of that aside, we need to get over that. Because when it comes down to it, if we're in the Word, we have all that we need. We're trained. We're teachers. And we are preachers. You know what the Greek word of preaching is? Proclaiming. So everybody that goes out and talks about Jesus is proclaiming God's Word. So in that sense, we're all preachers. Besides, in Peter, he says we are going to be a priesthood, a holy nation unto God. So why fight it? God will bring it about. You know, we won't be able to stop it. Before we know it, it happens. And whether we're comfortable with it or not, we just need to know that if that's what God called us to, then we need to follow through with it. He could call us to something far worse. Many people go out on the mission field over the years, many have given their lives. They've lost it in some horrendous ways. But yet, how many people are out in this world that we live in that are dying in horrendous ways? On the highways, in the plane crashes, storms, earthquakes. So, you know, we don't have to fear anything because God will take care of us. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to stand up in front of people, though. We have family that we can talk to about Jesus. You work with people. They need to hear about God. They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear what God's Word is saying. You go to school. Same thing. There's people there that need to hear. Whether you're going downtown to do shopping or whatever, there's people around there that will need to hear. You don't have to bark it out on a street corner, but God will provide a way. That divine appointment for you to be able to talk to somebody and be that example. So as far as preaching is concerned, like I said, all the Greek definition of that is proclaim. And we're all to proclaim who Jesus is, what He's done in our lives. We call that witnessing. And yet people are afraid. I can't go out witnessing. I don't know what to tell people. Do you know what Jesus did? Do you know where you were before you accepted Jesus? Do you know how your life has changed and why it's changed? You can tell them that. But also then you need to show them. But it begins with being grounded in the Word and serving others. And you know, even in serving, we're teaching as we help them. Spending time with God in prayer also leads to serving through worship and intercession. We do that a lot around here. Every Sunday. Many of us may not be able to carry a tune when we're singing, but we can still worship, right? I threw that in there because of me, because I know I can't carry a tune. But you know, who are we singing for? Or who are we singing to? Are we singing for everybody else to hear us and laugh and poke fun of us? Or are we just singing to the Lord? You know, as bad as I sound, if you multiplied me by 1,000, you put it all together in heaven, that would sound like the greatest chorus. And that's the way it is for all of us. So we don't have to worry about that. When people see others worshiping, though, it should lift their spirits and their hearts. And so when we come to church and we're worshiping, we need to be able to focus in on God. And that'll lift people's hearts. When we're out and about, our works of service, do you know works of service is also worship? And that identifies to people and it starts working on them. And when they start thinking about that, they open up an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to take them the rest of the way to the Lord. Or take them to another step to where we can share God's Word more with them. So we can serve each other as we worship. Then, as we already know, we can intercede on behalf of others in prayer. Every Sunday. Yeah, you know, when I first got here, I was told, well, you know, you need to not do that prayer time anymore. Prayer time just takes up too much time. Well, the prayer time is the most important time to me because that's our time to bring things to God. That's our time to share the answers that God gives us. And we all need to hear those things because our hearts need to be together in that. And so, you know, as we do that, we find out ways that we can serve others. And then when we join in, because we don't have an open prayer time where everybody can pray at that point, it's easier and less time consuming to let Marvin do that. And he does a good job at that, far better than what I would do. So, you know, God's chosen the right man for that. But, you know, we join in. We pray with him. And that links us in that prayer to God. And we all know that God answers our prayers. We may not see an answer right away to some of them. Some of them may take years. But God in time answers every one of them. And you know what? People in our association and our convention are talking about that. And they realize that, you know, we have to have these kind of prayer times. And you know, if we can do anything about prayer to encourage other churches to do that, praise the Lord. You know, not praise us for doing it, but praise God for using it. Those are important things. Interceding on behalf of others. Yet many Christians don't like to pray. We have our prayer time on Thursday. Every church I have been in, no matter how big, the majority of the people there on Sunday morning don't come on Sunday night. And the majority of people on Sunday night don't come on prayer night. So yeah, I've been in churches that were 200-250 people in there. And they'd have them there on Sunday morning. Sunday night, they might have 60. On prayer night, they might have 15 to 20. One of the most important things we can do is prayer. And people don't want to do that because they don't want to pray in front of other people. Because they feel awkward, especially when they have to do it out loud. Yeah. Ought to get them up here reading out loud sometimes. That can be unnerving. But maybe, you know, they just don't realize that prayer is one of the greatest things that we'll ever do for each other. And we ought to be praising God for that. Then spending time in fellowship with one another leads to serving by supporting and nurturing. Helping them. You know, one of the things that we enjoyed over the last couple years, me and Stephen, it was when we were cleaning the church, we had time that we could just talk and get to know one another and share things with one another. Yeah, you know, those things are important. You want to get to know more people? Ask them to be your partner and sign up on the cleaning crew there and clean with them for about an hour, hour and a half, sometime on a Saturday or during the week. And just get to know them. It makes a big difference. It makes the work go a lot easier and faster too. Well, maybe not faster, but it seems that way. We need to be there to support each other though. And the truth is, I need you, and you need me, and others need us. And we need to be willing to be there for them. There may not be a label or a fancy title to it, but yet, you know, there's nothing more important for us than to do things for others. Be there with them. Stand with them. Stand for them. In times of need. You know, I told you before, one of the things that they brought out in disaster relief chaplaincy training was that, you know, most of the time when you're in the midst of a disaster and you're ministering to people, all they really want you to do is just to be there with them. You don't have to say anything. You don't have to promise them that God will make everything good. They just need somebody there with them. Even in silence. That's what we can do for each other. That's what we can do for others. And then we need to take time to witness, of course. And really, that, like I said, that's also serving. As we go out and talk with people, as we bring people to Jesus. See, and that's what it is. We don't win them to Jesus. We just kind of bring them. We bring them by being able to share the truth of God's Word. And then as they see, or as they've seen prior, how we live according to God's truth, then it starts to come together. And then they start wondering. Then they start asking. Then the Holy Spirit leads them the rest of the way. And in their hearts and minds, they accept the Lord. Sounds pretty simple. But yet it's so hard to do for many people. They figure they got to know the whole Bible, be able to go out and knock on the door. And they don't like that because somebody might slam it in their face. And then tell them everything that they know about the Bible. And that's not what we need to do. We just need to have opportunities, and God will make them, to share truths with them. When they want to know more, they'll ask. And then we need to be ready for that. We can always find someone to talk to. And we can always find something about Jesus to tell them. It doesn't matter. We don't have to tell a lot. You know, what did Andrew do with Peter? He didn't go and explain the whole Bible to him. All he said was, "I've seen the Messiah." And he brought Peter. Simple things. We need to share with people, though, regardless of where they stand with God now. I mean, you know, we don't have to force it on them. Just little bits here and there. God will soften their hearts when the time is right. We need to just be open. So whatever you do, we need to remember, disciples are to serve people they come in contact with. All people that we come in contact with. And serving them through the things that we do, and then being ready to serve them with the truth of God's Word. We need to look at these encounters, as I said, divine appointments. That's what they are. Because we don't necessarily make them. We think we do sometimes. But God really sets it all up. And when He sets it up, there's nothing about that encounter we have to fear. But when we set it up, chances are, I don't know, 50-50. You take a guess on that, on whether we're going to be successful or not. A lot of times we're not, because we set it up the way we think it ought to be. But God knows the right way to do that. So each day we should consider who we may serve that day. Okay, Lord, who do you have in store for me? What do I need to be prepared for? Give me the wisdom. Give me the courage. Give me the understanding. Give me your word. And really what we're saying is, Lord, let the Holy Spirit lead my life. Give me the courage to trust in the Holy Spirit and not what's happening. And we need to do that today as well as tomorrow. Whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether we're out and about, whether we're at church. Because we never know when somebody's really needing something. And like most people, they don't want to ask anything of anybody. But we can sense things. And then we can use that divine appointment to help them. And it's all out of love. The same love that Jesus has for us. Because he doesn't want us to hurt. He doesn't want us to suffer. Although those things happen and He knows it. But He knows what suffering and hurting is. His heart ached over Jerusalem. His heart ached over facing the cross. But He knew God's will needed to be done. And so He did it. We need to let God's will be done in our lives. So let me end all of this series on discipleship with what the Apostle Paul charged the Jews in Rome with. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. See, God's not asking us to do anything unreasonable, just what's reasonable in His plan in saving the world. We should all be willing to do what we can if we really say, Jesus is my Savior and Lord. If we really love Him the way He loves us. Help people. Day in and day out. Well, I don't have people around me. A lot of people don't have people around them. But as you do your stuff, wherever it is, whoever is around, you're a witness. And people will hear. And people will talk. People will see. And someday they may come knocking at your door and say, I need some help with this. Or could you explain this to me? Why do you live the way you do? Why don't you do some of the things the rest of the people do? How come you're different? They open the floodgates when they say that. Because then we can share anything and everything we know about Jesus and His plan of salvation. And what I gave you the other week, you can use that. Say, look here, this is how it is. If you want to know Jesus personally, boom, 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 boom. And show them in the Bible. So they know that you're not just making it up. That you're not misrepresenting it. And that's what it's all about. Discipleship is doing things that Jesus would do if He was here Himself. And what would Jesus say about that to us? Matthew 5:16. So let your light shine before men that they see your good deeds and they glorify your Father in heaven. That's what it's all about. Serving. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for all that You do for us, for bringing us to a point where we can understand enough about Your Word to engage You in our prayers, to seek Your help in many situations, Lord, but also to be aware of the people around us, those that are brothers and sisters in Christ that can help us. Lord, help us not to be too proud to ask for help or even accept it. But also help us to be mindful enough to know when others need help and to be willing to help them. And then in the world, Lord, help us to be the exact witness that You put us on earth to be. To reach into the lives of those. And when the time is right, You'll make those appointments for us. Help us to be prepared for that. And help us to let You lead and guide us. All for the sake of none should have to perish. But everybody should be able to have eternal life. And Lord, we can't make them accept that. You never did. But it was there for the offering. All they had to do was accept it. So help us to be diligent in our service for You. Help us to be diligent in our service for others. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.